Noose with Your Name on It by Hippo Fox. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of Andrew Hussey. Current ectobiologist, CEB, right now, opened memo on board Conair guitar solo. Current gallows calibrator, CGC, right now, responded to memo.
GC.
Hey, dum-dum.
EB.
Hey, weirdo.
Current TurnTech Godhead, CTG, right now, responded to memo.
TG.
Whoa, was y'all hunting down on the PDA? You're making me blush all kawaii over here.
EB.
What are you talking about?
GC.
He's talking about our egregious pitch flirting, John.
EB.
What? Hey, calling someone stupid names is not flirting.
GC.
Oh, I see.
GC.
Okay, Dave, you can untwist your panties. Eggnerd said nuh-uh to your opening statement, which is a completely impenetrable argument that totally holds up in any court of law.
TG.
Damn, you're right. That shit is airtight.
GC.
Excepting mine, of course.
GC.
Since I can smell his deceit.
EB.
Yeah.
GC. TG.
Would y'all just fuck already and get it over with?
GC.
I mean, I would, if John wasn't so busy fondling himself to pictures of that CGI ghost with the human teeth.
EB.
Hey, my passion for Slimer is 100% genuine cinematic appreciation, thank you.
GC.
That's what they all say.
EB.
Wait, what do you mean, you would?
GC.
Sigh.
GC.
The pretends to be dumb shtick, John.
GC.
Really?
EB.
I am genuinely asking.
TG.
Known him, he is.
TG.
Genuinely asking, unfortunately.
GC.
You can't think of a single thing in the statement above mine that I could have been referring to.
EB.
Oh.
EB.
Is this that kissmessis thing?
EB.
Wait, does that mean you were flirting that time you said you wanted to taste my spleen?
TG.
Dude.
EB.
Or the time you threatened to check my tonsils with the sword end of your cane?
TG.
Didn't your dad ever teach you about a little thing called TMI?
EB.
Or when you said you had a noose in your bedroom with my name on it?
GC.
That last one is just a fact.
GC.
But yes, John, I am so glad you are finally bringing this up.
GC.
I have indeed been pitch propositioning you.
GC.
For years now, in fact.
EB.
What? Like, for actual sex stuff?
TG.
Bro, you did not just call it actual sex stuff. Please tell me you are trying to sound this lame.
TG.
We cannot be saying things like actual sex stuff, dude. Come on.
TG.
You're single-handedly gonna tank our coolness factor as a species.
GC.
Yes, John, for actual sex stuff.
GC.
But it's okay.
GC.
I know you're too much of a weenie to reciprocate physically.
GC.
And would have a harder time locating a nook than a literal blind girl.
GC.
You don't have to force yourself.
GC.
Even if I would enjoy smothering you in your post-coital sleep to hear the sweet, pitiful noises you'd make.
TG.
Okay, I know I said y'all should fuck, but I was kidding. Okay, there's this thing called jokes.
TG.
Hey, how was everyone's weekends? Mine was full of fascinating subject change.
CEB ceased responding to memo. CGC ceased responding to memo.
TG.
Oh, snap. Teresi lifts her hands from her keyboard and spins her chair around as a sour blue raspberry figure materializes in her room.
Took you long enough.
She sniffs the air, cocking an eyebrow.
No broken windows? That's not very spades-like of you, John. And here I was imagining you hurtling through the sky with your dorky blue noodle hat flailing in the wind, colliding with my double-reinforced glass like a fledgling flat beast on its first trip from the nest.
John grabs her by the front of the shirt, slamming her against the nearest wall. Her feet dangle several feet above the ground as he holds her there, effortlessly floating with his powers.
Is that space-like enough for you?
The grin already spreading across her face maxes out, flashing the points of every tooth.
Why, Eggnerd, I didn't know you cared.
John grunts as the sharp end of her cane sword cuts into the underside of his chin. A bright red drop of blood trickles into the collar of his shirt.
Don't worry. I'll go easy on you since it's your first time.
John's eyes narrow, cutting off some of her access to their blueberry and cream deliciousness. He starts to lean in, and she has to withdraw her weapon before he drives it any deeper into his own throat.
Shouldn't you be a little more worried about yourself?
His mouth crashes into hers, teeth and tongues meet in a mess of enthusiasm. She inhales sharply at the taste of him, whiskey and warm human, and the tang of cherry penny as her teeth slice his lower lip. He growls, letting go of her shirt to press her into the wall with his whole body, and she wraps her arms around him, tangling her hands in the stupid mess of his hair and pulling. His hands wrap around her wrists. Ow, I don't think I want you doing that.
Too bad.
His hands slowly start to squeeze. And you cut my lip with your teeth, jerk. The pressure on her wrists increases until Terezi is forced to let go. Her hands are immediately yanked up over her head.
Oh my, what a compromising position to find myself in. Too bad your hands are too full to do anything about it.
Oh, they're too full, are they? John brings her wrists together, and she struggles ineffectually as he wrestles them both into one fist.
Using your physical advantage? Fine, two can play at that game.
She bites into the meat of his shoulder, slicing straight through his shirt and driving in deep. John howls, yanking her off him by the hair.
Ouch! Oh, okay, you asked for it.
Still holding her wrists tight, he flies away from the wall. She snaps her teeth at him, cackling.
Ask for what, John? This delicious candy red blood of yours.
You are so gross. He makes for the door, and not the one that leads further into her hive.
Ooh, gonna dangle me off the balcony? How adorably vicious of you.
Yep,
I'm sure my neighbors will appreciate the show.
You don't have any neighbors. You live in the middle of the woods. He lifts her over the railing. Despite her bravado, Terezi does flail somewhat less vigorously with her feet dangling 20 feet above the ground.
Oh, silly John. Of course I have neighbors. How could you forget the esteemed Senator Lemonsnout and Duke Pinesnort? How's it hanging?
Duke Pinesnort knocks against her as John dips below the balcony, where her scalemate plushes hang by their necks. He slides his free hand along a bright blue noose with no current occupants.
You weren't kidding about having one with my name on it, huh? That's right, John. I like to come here and fondly regard it while imagining it tightening around that meathead neck of you. Ah!
John drops her. She flails in free fall for a split second, then jerks to a stop as rope tightens around her wrists.
Well, it was thoughtful of you to leave it out for me. Now all your neighbors will know who you belong to. Hey!
John grabs her by the elbow and pushes, sending her spinning.
Now that I've caught you, I wonder what I should do to you. Gee, I've got so many ideas, I don't know where to start.
He stops her out-of-control spin with a hand on top of her head. Terezi inhales, realizing he's floated up to put her face at crotch level.
Why, John, that's a great idea. I was getting hungry for a little snack.
Terezi licks her lips with her long tongue, making sure he gets another good view of her bloody teeth and tries not to show the way her head is still spinning. On second thought, let's go with my other idea. John grabs Terezi by one of her horns and slaps her in the nose. The world goes muddy and dim.
John, what is this?
What?
Your nose blinding me with no warning? There's this little thing called consent, you know.
What was that? I can't understand a thing you're saying with that whiskey-soaked nose blind on.
Damn, I fucking hate you.
John responds by grabbing her by the waistband of her pants. He yanks until the button flies off, then shoves them down her legs, trapping them in her ankles. She tries to kick him in the face, but only hits air. John's chest presses against her from behind.
Now let's see what you've got going on down here.
His hand shoves down into the front of her boxers. She turns her head and snaps at him, wiggling her butt.
Oh, you're just like a girl. I am a girl, loser head.
I mean like a human girl. And wow, you're super wet. His breath is hot on her ear. Is that because of me?
No, John. It's because of all the dirty things Duke Pinesnort is whispering in my ear.
Hey, can't he read the noose? Hands off, buddy. There's a ripping sound, and a bit of fluff hits Terezi's face before the gentle bouncing impact of felt hitting a forest floor.
Murderer! You will pay for your crimes!
You like it. John's fingers curl inside her and she gasps, for real, arching against him. See?
Seeing even less than usual, actually.
Oh, good, so it is working. Terezi shudders as the sensation building between her legs comes to a head, just as John jolts his hand out of her boxers.
Whoa, what was that? What, my bulge?
What? You have one of those? I thought that was supposed to be, like, a dick.
Correct.
John pulls the elastic of her boxers out.
Oh, ew, it's a tentacle! Wow, John, I assumed you were a virgin, but I didn't know it was this bad.
It came out of nowhere. Can you make it go back in?
I mean, it kind of already is with how this conversation is going.
Oh, sweet, can you get it to stay there until we're done?
I do not particularly like this line of questioning.
Great, hold on. I just need to look something up real quick.
John, don't you dare!
John vanishes, leaving Terezi dangling alone in the wind. She tips her head back and groans.
Okay, I'm back. I think I can make this work. Make what work, John? Your reticent human dick when faced with a vastly superior model.
Wow, how'd you know? That's totally what I was talking about.
Psych.
John presses back against her from behind, and there's a lot less fabric in the way than the last time. Terezi shivers, feeling something firm and warm pressing between her legs. She decides now is the perfect time to go for the horn eye gouge maneuver.
Hey! What, you thought I was gonna make this easy for you?
You literally said you were going to!
And you believe me?
Blunt teeth drive into her shoulder. Terezi moans.
You liked that? It was just so gentle. I was enjoying the massage.
John bites her again, higher up in her neck. His hand slips back into her boxers.
No, you liked that.
Terezi gasps, his fingers questing along the edge of her bulge sheath. She tries brushing the tip of her bulge against him again, but he zeroes in on it and pushes.
In. Cool, it worked.
How's that feel?
Terrible.
Good. Terezi's swollen bulge squirms inside her, pushing at his thumb to no effect. The pressure is intense, teetering on the edge between too much and too good. She is going to go insane.
I don't think you're supposed to do this to a bulge, John.
She'll be fine. Besides, you just got even wetter, so you can't mind that much. John shoves Terezi's boxers down to her knees, the outdoor breeze blowing across her heated thighs. She feels the blunt head of his cock at her entrance, and her eyes widen sightlessly.
Now hold on a second.
He shoves all the way in. She cries out, feeling like she is about to come apart at the seams. He draws out partway for less than the space of a breath, then slams it back in just as hard, skin slapping loudly against skin. Then he does it again. And again.
Someday, I'm going to break into your hive when you're sleeping and see how you like getting paled in your holes without anything touching your human dick.
John stalls, his breath catching. Then he speeds up even more, his hips rocking into her from behind.
Promise? Oh my god, you were not supposed to like that suggestion, John! Although, I guess it does make a sort of sense.
What does that mean?
Oh, nothing.
He sticks a wet finger into her ear.
What? Hey!
That's revenge for all the times you've surprise-licked my face.
You're such a dork! Why am I so...
Oh. My god, it's... Teal and so much you... Fuck, wow, I... John's forehead drops onto her shoulder and his hips stutter.
Did you also just...
Yeah.
Huh. That's kind of anticlimactic.
How rude. And here I was about to say I had a good time. Good luck finding someone to untie you now, Miss Ungrateful.
Oh no, whatever shall I do? I'm such a defenseless captive victim.
Terezi slices through the rope, holding her wrists in place with her claws, and John yelps as she starts to fall past him. She yanks the nose blind out and quickly equips her winged jetpack, blasting a licorice black hole in the forest foliage as she slows to a gentle landing.
Please, John, you think I didn't have you exactly where I wanted you this entire time?
A bead of liquid dribbles down from her nostril. Terezi wipes at it with the back of her hand. She abruptly gets slapped in the face with a blast of blue raspberry. John bursts into a fit of giggles.
You've got something on your face.
Terezi licks the back of her hand and identifies the liquid as blue ink. She frowns.
Oh boy, I got you good. You look like you have a blue mustache.
Snarling, Terezi launches back into the air, lunging at it with her cane sword through the confusing haze of blue. He pops out of existence as her strike stabs through where his gut should be. She hears her palm husk vibrate on her desk.
Ectobiologist EB began pestering Gallows Calibrator, GC.
EB.
That was fun. Thanks for having me over.
EB.
Let's do it again sometime. Greater than three, greater than...
EB.
No, wait, how does it go?
GC.
Less than three, less than...
EB.
Oh, yeah, less than three, less than...
EB.
No, but seriously, let's do it again sometime.
GC.
How about now?
EB.
What?
GC.
Knock, knock!
Ectobiologists, EB's, computer exploded.
The Homestuck Fan Author Coalition is a place for authors to write, brainstorm, discuss, and collaborate. The link is right there, loser head. The music is Air on GC's String by Sam Gabriel. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you like the way these words sounded and you'd like the narrator to say other ones, visit her website at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find even more words that she said and ways to support her for saying those words. And finally, if it please the court, thanks for listening.